get another view on that one. So, as you've heard, Duma Qubule is with us. Duma, appreciate your time. I mean, just your quick thoughts, and I understand you've heard a snippet of that conversation in terms of the AfriForum position on affirmative action.
I totally disagree with everything that AfriForum is saying. Now, first of all, I just have to explain some context. We have the Employment Equity Act of 1998. Every year for the past 26 years, you have a different Minister of Labour talking about, he or she talking about how little progress we've made in terms of achieving employment equity. So now I'd always do an analysis of the actual statistics. From 2009 to 2022, we've had almost no movement in terms of the employment of black people at top senior and middle management. I'll just do a snippet for time reasons. African people, 2009, in top management in the private sector, 12.5%. 13 years later, 13.8%. White and foreign, almost 70%. So white, black, African women as well, they are totally marginalized in terms of African women, 3.8% and 4.6%. So what I'm saying is that we are not dealing with, we're dealing with racism in these companies. And I believe that the targets that AfriForum is talking about, that the minister set, the sectoral targets, I think they're too tame. I think the time that we should do is quotas that must apply across the economy. I've been having this debate for years with the Black Management Forum leadership and say, I don't agree with this process. I think these sectoral targets are too tame, they're too low, and now there is no skill shortage in terms of appointing black people into top management positions or senior management positions. I think the time has come for us to do what Norway did some years ago, when a conservative minister in Norway decided they'd had enough of companies coming up with excuse why they couldn't hire women on company boards. And they just set a target for 40% that had to be achieved, I think, in 3 years. If you didn't achieve it, your company was just registered, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think the time has come, and they did achieve it, you know. And I just think that the time has come to start pussyfooting around these companies, because I've worked in many of these companies, and some of the lame excuses they come up with as to why they can't hire black people in top and senior and middle management completely make no sense whatsoever.
Okay, yeah. So let's start with the first things first. I mean, your point from 2009, and you're saying, 12% black moving on to like 13% a couple of years later, I mean, even a few years more, honestly, is quite ridiculous. I think that's the first thing. The second point is, if you went to Italy and you found that, 90% of the top positions or 70% of the top positions in Italy are run by, I don't know, people from Morocco, for example, you'd be furious if you were an Italian, if there's been no redress around that, for example. So I think the principle is spot on, right? But where then are we going wrong? I mean, is the argument that, in fact, companies who chase profit would want to increase, are they racist because they don't want to increase the numbers of senior management, or are they wanting to do so, but the pipeline is not flowing through fast enough, which then leads to the issue, to borrow a sporting phrase, you need to get the youngsters up from the reserve team to play for the senior team. Where's the problem? Where's the logjam?
Okay, so what I talk about in these things, one positive story in terms of transformation that I've seen is the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. They went from 20 years ago for very almost no black chartered accountants. We are now sitting with a few thousand black women chartered accountants. I think it's 5,000 or 6,000 chartered accountants. I don't see these chartered accountants as financial directors of JSE-listed companies. We've got 400 JSE-listed companies. Where are these black women? Why are they not being employed? There are some who are getting employed, but what I'm trying to show is that when people talk pipeline, there is a pipeline of qualified black women and male chartered accountants that is out there that is not getting hired. So all the time I'm saying that the companies are looking to the usual suspects, the white males, not even white females, white males to occupy all these positions.
Yeah. So you would support a quota compared to targets. Explain the difference and what is the quota?
Okay, so the quota would be set across all sectors of the economy, because I think part of the problem in terms of the design of these empowerment policies, because I was involved in them, for example, the sector charters. Sector charters became a way to circumvent empowerment. So you had different proliferation of sector charters across the economy. And I always argued from day one that we should have one set of rules for the whole sector of the economy, because there's nothing unique in financial services or ICT that makes it difficult, more difficult for you to hire black people. I always said from the beginning that these issues are generic. The companies must comply.
Okay, give me an example. When you say one set of rules, I mean, just give me a number we understand how it will play out.
Example. Okay, so like now, let's take top management, what the government has opposed. 46% for financial services, 50% for transportation, which is 50% for... So what I'm trying to say, instead of setting different sector targets, you must set one for everybody. Yeah. So they've got different targets for different sectors. So I think that's not necessary. We should just set one target that's easy to monitor across all sectors of the economy. Yeah.
Okay. How... The position of AfriForum about, you know, they suggesting that... In fact, they said the targets are not working, and they suggested a scrapping. And you may have heard, well, you probably didn't hear, because we didn't play the whole conversation.
Yes, the targets are not working. That's why the minister comes in July. The minister's going to come, and I don't know who's the new minister going to be. And they're complaining about the companies not achieving the targets, because there are not enough sanctions for companies to achieve these targets. There's not enough incentive for companies to achieve these targets. So there must be a stick in the carrot, and companies must... There mustn't be loopholes for companies, to, you know, legal loopholes.
Okay, because one of the things that I asked of AfriForum in the question was that if there's a problem with certain targets, right, and let's take your position where you want the targets accelerated, how much of it has got to do with poor leadership of the ANC, or in this case the ruling party, versus the actual implementation of the targets? Meaning that what I'm saying is, if the targets, we've fallen short, is it because of the ruling party, but the policy is correct, or is it that the policy that's wrong?
Okay, it's multiple things. Number one, I think the government has really lost the fight on the whole issue of transformation across the economy. So they're apologetic about their transformation objectives. So we must move beyond being apologetic for our transformation policy. But at the same time, and I've worked in these companies, these companies do not want to transform. They would rather pay a fine or whatever then transform the company. And it makes no sense whatsoever for the long-term, whatever, the private sector's long-term sustainability, for them not to, you know, want to transform, as you said, with the example about Italy. Yes, yeah. Mm.
And lastly, in terms of your quota drive, I mean, clearly it applies to big business, it applies to listed companies. Could that apply also to the smallest of businesses or not?
I think it would have to apply, no, not the smallest of businesses. You'd have to apply to, you know, after, I don't know what the cutoff line is, but...
Okay, but certainly not your typical family business, maybe understandable.
No. Right. Well, yeah.
Here's the last thing. Up to now, we've been speaking about transformation and affirmative action, in your example, mainly around business and top-level leadership. The reality for the many people listening to us, they will be talking about employment at the bottom rung of the ladder, simply getting jobs. What's your comment on that?
This is the biggest problem that we have in South Africa today. We have got the highest unemployment rate in the world. And I've been following the debates around the political parties. None of them are providing a credible path for South Africa to achieve full employment. I've done modeling in terms of what to require for us to get to full employment by the year 2035. 1.6 million jobs a year that we need to create. Let's focus on that and say, what does it take for us to create 1.6 million jobs? We need a higher GDP growth rate, because there's a relationship between GDP growth and jobs. Number two, we need an industrial policy that creates incentives for labor-intensive sectors, powerful incentives, not lame ones that we're seeing with the current, and we need to expand public employment. So yes, we must transform at the top, and as you say, from the bottom, most people are not working in the country. 49% unemployment for African females. That is absolutely scandalous.
Got that. We need to have a cup of coffee. That's all I can tell you. Duma Kubule, the independent labor analyst and economist. Very important conversation that we've had. So what do you make of that? I mean, that's his point. You, as the audience, well, what's your point on this issue?